A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Here's the thing. We've been using Chatterbox for 200 episodes now. That's a lot of generations, a lot of late nights where I'm waiting for Herman's voice to render, a lot of opportunities for something to drift or break. And it hasn't. So, Daniel sent us this one. He wants to know what's actually under the hood. What makes Chatterbox particularly good at single-shot voice cloning? What's the development story behind it? Where's it headed under Resemble AI? And what other open-source TTS models should practitioners know about? Given how much the open-source TTS space has fragmented since early 2025, this feels like the right moment to do a proper post-mortem on our own production stack.
The timing's good, too. We've got new architectures competing for attention. Diffusion transformers, flow matching, latent diffusion models, and Chatterbox has been remarkably stable through all of that noise. Most models that were hot 2 years ago are already showing their age. This one isn't.
Before we get into the weeds, let's make sure we're all on the same page about what single-shot cloning actually means, because it's not what most people think.
Single-shot voice cloning means you give the model one reference audio sample, typically 5 to 30 seconds of someone speaking, and it generates new speech in that voice. No fine-tuning, no speaker adaptation training, no additional data collection. You record one clip, you get a voice. Contrast that with multi-shot systems that need 3 to 10 minutes of data, sometimes more, and often require running a separate speaker encoder fine-tuning step before you can generate anything useful.
The thing that trips people up, they hear single-shot and think it means one try, one generation. That's not it. The shot is the reference sample. You can generate thousands of utterances from that one sample.
The real challenge isn't making the clone sound human on the first generation. Most models can do that now. The challenge is making it sound like the same human on the 10,000th generation. That's the consistency problem, and it's where most single-shot systems fall apart.
Because every time you hit generate, most models re-encode the reference audio to extract a speaker embedding. And each time they do it, there's subtle variation. Tiny differences in how the encoder processes the same audio on different forward passes. Over one or two generations, you can't hear it. Over hundreds, the voice starts drifting.
That's the thing. For a podcast with recurring hosts, drift is death. If my voice sounds slightly different in episode 197 than it did in episode 1, the listener might not consciously notice, but something feels off. The character loses coherence. It's the uncanny valley of identity consistency.
Which brings us to the three things we want to cover today. 1. The architectural decisions that make Chatterbox avoid that drift entirely. 2. The development story and Resemble AI's strategy with this model. 3. The competitive landscape as of mid-2026, because if you're building something in this space, you need to know what else is out there.
How does Chatterbox actually pull this off? Let's pop the hood and look at the architecture. Specifically, the three design decisions that make it different from everything else.
Start with the big picture. What's the architecture?
Chatterbox uses a conditional flow matching decoder paired with a transformer-based text encoder. That's a departure from the VITS family of models that dominated open-source TTS in 2023 and 2024. VITS uses a variational autoencoder with an adversarial decoder. You've got a posterior encoder, a prior, a stochastic duration predictor, and a discriminator trying to tell real from fake. It's effective, but it introduces randomness at multiple points. Flow matching replaces that variational approach with something more deterministic.
Explain flow matching for someone who knows what a transformer is, but hasn't kept up with the generative modeling literature.
Flow matching learns a continuous transformation from a simple distribution, usually Gaussian noise, to the target data distribution, which in this case is a MEL spectrogram of speech. You define a vector field that gradually pushes the noise toward the data, and at inference time, you solve an ordinary differential equation to follow that field from noise to output. The key insight is that it's smoother and more stable than diffusion models for this specific task. Fewer artifacts, more consistent prosody.
The conditional part?
The flow is conditioned on two things, the text representation and the speaker embedding. The text goes through a BERT-based encoder that produces phoneme sequences with duration predictions. The speaker embedding comes from a separate pathway, which is where the magic happens for consistency.
Walk me through the generation pipeline step by step. I want to understand exactly what happens when we generate a line of dialogue.
Stage 1, the reference audio goes into a WAVLM-based speaker verification model, which extracts a 256-dimensional speaker embedding vector. That vector gets cached. Stage 2, the input text goes through a BERT encoder, which produces a phoneme sequence with duration predictions from a Montreal forced aligner alignment. This is deterministic, not stochastic like VITS. Stage 3, the flow matching decoder generates a MEL spectrogram conditioned on both the phoneme sequence and the cached speaker embedding. Stage 4, a hi-fi GAN vocoder converts the MEL spectrogram to a 24 kHz waveform.
The cached embedding is the crucial bit. You extract it once, you store it, and every single generation after that uses the exact same tensor.
Exactly the same 256 numbers. No stochastic re-encoding. No subtle drift from forward pass to forward pass. Most single-shot models, Open Voice, Cozy Voice, the early XTTS versions, re-encode the reference audio on every generation. They run the speaker encoder again each time you hit generate. And because neural networks are inherently non-deterministic on most hardware, you get slightly different embeddings each time. The differences are tiny. We're talking variations in the third or fourth decimal place, but they compound.
Over 200 episodes, those tiny variations add up to audible drift. The voice gradually becomes a different version of itself.
Chatterbox's cached approach eliminates that entirely. The voice is locked. It's the same speaker identity every single time.
There's a trade-off there, though, right? If the embedding is cached and fixed, you can't dynamically adjust speaker characteristics mid-generation. You can't say, make me sound more energetic for this line by tweaking the embedding.
That's correct. The voice is locked at the identity level. You can still control prosody through punctuation and capitalization in the text, and version 1.5 added some prosody markers you can insert, but the core speaker identity, the timbre, the vocal track characteristics, the fundamental frequency range, those are fixed once the embedding is extracted. For our use case, that's a feature, not a bug. We want corn to sound like corn every time.
Which I appreciate, given that I'm a sloth and my voice is already unusual enough without drift.
There's another piece of the consistency puzzle that doesn't get enough attention, the duration predictor. VITs uses a stochastic duration predictor, which means there's randomness in how long each phoneme lasts. Same text, same speaker, different timing on every generation. Chatterbox uses a deterministic duration predictor trained on Montreal forced aligner alignments. Same text always produces the same phoneme durations.
The pacing is locked too. No timing jitter.
Between the cached embedding and the deterministic duration prediction, you've eliminated the two biggest sources of variation in TTS generation. The only remaining source of randomness is in the flow matching sampler itself, and even that can be controlled with a fixed seed.
Talk about the text normalization side. We've dealt with some weird edge cases. Acronyms, numbers, the whole WHAT versus what problem.
Chatterbox uses a custom phonemizer with language, agnostic BERT-based prosody prediction. The phonemizer handles the conversion from written text to phonemes, and the BERT component provides context-aware prosody. It knows when a period means a full stop versus when it's part of an abbreviation. The system handles the text normalization upstream of the phonemizer, using a combination of rule-based and learned components. It's not perfect, no text normalization system is, but it's substantially better than the regex-only approaches that a lot of open-source models use.
The regex approach breaks on anything unexpected. A model trained mostly on English news text sees Dr. and confidently reads it as Dr., then sees Dr. Dre and says Dr. Dre.
Chatterbox's BERT component has enough contextual awareness to handle a lot of those cases. It's seen enough varied text during training that it can disambiguate based on surrounding words. Again, not perfect, we still catch things in our editing process, but the error rate is low enough that it's manageable for production use.
Let's talk numbers. What are the actual specs?
The speaker embedding is 256 dimensions. Sample rate is 24 kHz. Inference latency on a decent GPU is around 150 milliseconds for a short utterance. That's fast enough for near real-time generation. VRAM requirement for single-shot generation is about 3.5 GB. The model was trained on approximately 100,000 hours of licensed audio data, a mix of audiobook recordings and Resemble AI's internal dataset.
100,000 hours. That's over 11 years of continuous audio.
That scale matters. Flow matching models are data hungry. They need to see a lot of variation in speaking styles, acoustic environments, and linguistic content to learn a smooth vector field from noise to speech. Training on a smaller dataset tends to produce models that sound good on in-distribution text but fall apart on anything unusual.
Which brings us to the next question. That explains the how. But the why? Why Resemble AI built it this way? And what else is out there? Is where it gets really interesting.
Resemble AI has been in the voice AI space since 2019. They started with proprietary TTS, built a business around voice cloning for enterprise customers, and then in August 2024, they released Chatterbox as an open source model under the Apache 2.0 license. The code is fully open. The pre-trained weights require a commercial license for production use above a certain volume threshold, similar to Meta's approach with Llama.
It's open source as a development strategy, not as a charity project.
The open source release drives adoption and community contributions. Developers build tooling around it, find edge cases, submit improvements. Meanwhile, the commercial tier offers fine-tuning, custom voices, service-level agreements, and priority support. It's a model that's worked well for a lot of AI companies, and Resemble AI executed it cleanly.
What about the training process? Anything unusual there?
They used a two-stage training approach. Stage 1, train the flow matching decoder on the full 100,000-hour dataset. Get it to the point where it can generate clean, natural-sounding speech from text and speaker embeddings. Stage 2, freeze the decoder and train the speaker conditioning network separately. This lets them optimize the speaker identity preservation without destabilizing the core generation quality.
Freezing the decoder is smart. If you try to jointly optimize everything, improvements to speaker similarity often come at the cost of audio quality. You get a voice that sounds more like the target, but with more artifacts.
The trade-off is real, and the two-stage approach sidesteps it. Train the decoder to perfection, lock it down, then figure out how to condition it better.
Then, January of this year, version 1.5 dropped.
Chatterbox 1.5, released January 2026. Three major improvements. First, a faster flow matching sampler, 10 steps instead of 25, which cuts generation time roughly in half. Second, improved multilingual support, expanding from the original English focus model to 12 languages with decent quality across all of them. Third, a new voice lock. Feature that prevents embedding drift across sessions. If you reload a cached embedding from disk, it's verified against a checksum to make sure nothing got corrupted.
That last one is the kind of detail that tells you the developers actually use their own product. Someone ran into a production issue where a saved embedding got silently corrupted, and they built a safeguard.
The roadmap for later this year is interesting, too. They're working on streaming inference support, generate and play audio simultaneously rather than waiting for the full utterance to complete. Emotion conditioning via reference audio, give it a clip of someone speaking excitedly, and it adjusts the emotional tone while preserving speaker identity. And a distilled Studev model for edge deployment, smaller, faster, runs on a phone.
The emotion conditioning one is tricky with cached embeddings. If the embedding is fixed, how do you inject emotion without changing the voice?
That's the research challenge. The current approach seems to be adding a separate emotion embedding that gets concatenated with the speaker embedding before conditioning the flow matching decoder. The speaker identity stays locked, but the prosody, pitch variation, speaking rate, energy, gets modulated by the emotion vector. Early demos look promising, but it's not production ready yet.
Let's talk about the competitive landscape. What else should practitioners know about?
The open source TTS space has gotten crowded, and it's worth mapping out the major players as of mid-2026. I'll go through five that are worth knowing about, with the caveat that this field moves fast and the rankings might shift by the time this episode goes out.
Start with the one that's closest to Chatterbox, architecturally.
Cozy Voice 2 from Alibaba released December 2025. It uses a similar flow matching approach, but with a different speaker conditioning mechanism. Instead of caching a single embedding, Cozy Voice allows voice mixing. You can interpolate between two speaker embeddings to create a blend. It's strong on Mandarin, which makes sense given the development team and the multilingual quality is competitive. The downside for our use case is that it re-encodes the reference on every generation, so you get that 5-10% variation in speaking rate that we talked about. For applications where you need voice mixing or where Mandarin is the primary language, it's probably the best choice right now.
For applications where consistency is the top priority, Chatterbox still wins. What about FishSpeech?
FishSpeech 1.5 uses a different paradigm entirely, vector quantized GAN plus a language model approach. It quantizes audio into discrete tokens, then uses an autoregressive language model to predict the next token given the text and speaker conditioning. The zero-shot quality is excellent. It can produce very natural speech from extremely short references, but it's resource-heavy. You need about 6 gigabytes of VRAM for equivalent quality to Chatterbox's 3.5. And autoregressive generation is inherently sequential, so latency is higher.
The VQGAN plus LLM approach is philosophically interesting, though. It treats speech generation as a language modeling problem.
It does. And there's a contingent of researchers who think this is the future of TTSDI, that eventually we'll just have multimodal language models that output audio tokens as naturally as they output text tokens. But for now, the efficiency gap is real. 6 gigabytes versus 3.5 matters when you're running on consumer hardware.
What about the cookie ecosystem? XTTS was the go-to recommendation for beginners for a while.
XTTS version 3, which is now maintained as a community fork after Cokie's restructuring, is still the most accessible option for beginners. Easy to install, good documentation, works on modest hardware. But it shows noticeable quality degradation on long-form generation. After about 500 words, you start hearing more breath artifacts, more inconsistent pacing, occasional phoneme errors. For short clips, a few sentences, it's fine. For podcast-length content, the degradation becomes audible. StyleTTS2 is still the best model for fine-grained prosody control. If you need to specify exactly how a sentence should be delivered, which words get emphasis, where the pitch rises and falls, how fast each phrase should be, StyleTTS2 gives you the knobs. The catch is that it requires reference audio that matches the target speaking style. You can't feed it a neutral reference and then ask for an excited delivery. The reference has to already contain the style you want.
It's a different use case. StyleTTS2 is for when you need control. Chatterbox is for when you need consistency.
And then there's VoiceCraft from MIT, which uses a neural codec language model approach, similar philosophy to FishSpeech but with different architectural choices. It's impressive for in-context learning, meaning it can pick up on patterns from the prompt that aren't explicitly encoded in a speaker embedding. But it's about 4 times slower than Chatterbox at inference time, which makes it impractical for production use at scale.
If I'm a practitioner evaluating these models, what's my decision matrix?
Consistency. Does it sound like the same person every time? Controllability? Can I adjust prosody, emotion, speaking rate? Latency? Can it run in real-time or near real-time on available hardware? Chatterbox scores high on consistency and latency, medium on controllability. Cozy Voice, 2 scores medium on consistency, high on controllability via voice mixing, medium on latency. FishSpeech scores medium on consistency, medium on controllability, low on latency due to VRAM requirements. StyleTTS2 scores medium on consistency, high on controllability, medium on latency. You pick based on your bottleneck.
For Our Bottleneck, a podcast with recurring hosts generating thousands of lines per episode, consistency is the thing that can't be compromised.
Which is why we landed on Chatterbox and why we've stayed there. The cached embedding approach is the killer feature for this use case, and nobody else has replicated it effectively yet.
Let's address a few misconceptions that float around this space. The first one, all single-shot TTS models produce the same consistency. That's demonstrably false, and we've just explained why.
Most models re-encode the reference on every forward pass. Chatterbox's cached embedding is genuinely the exception, not the norm. It's not that other models are bad, they're solving different problems. A model designed for one-off voice cloning demos doesn't need to worry about the 10,000th generation.
Second misconception. Open source TTS is catching up to proprietary models like 11 labs across the board.
It depends on what you're measuring. For single-shot cloning consistency and reproducibility, open source actually leads. Chatterbox with cached embeddings is more consistent than most proprietary APIs. For emotional range and multilingual accent accuracy, the proprietary models still have an edge. 11 Labs can produce a wider range of emotional expressions from a single reference, and their accent handling across languages is more natural. The gap is narrowing, but it's not closed.
Third misconception. Apache 2.0 license means free for everything.
This trips people up constantly. The code is Apache 2.0. The pre-trained model weights have a separate commercial license. If you're using Chatterbox in production above a certain volume threshold, you need to pay Resemble AI. Always check the specific licensing terms for the weights, not just the code repository. This is true for a growing number of open-source AI models. The code is open, the weights have commercial restrictions.
It's the open weight versus open source distinction that the industry is still figuring out how to talk about.
It's worth being precise about. When I say Chatterbox is open source, I mean the codebase is publicly available under a permissive license. The weights are available for non-commercial use and for commercial use below the threshold. That's an important nuance, and it's one that a lot of open source AI discourse glosses over.
Let me pull on one thread before we move to takeaways. You mentioned that Resemble AI has been in this space since 2019, 5 years of proprietary development before the open source release. What does that tell us about their strategy?
It tells us they had something worth protecting. 5 years of internal R&D, building datasets, iterating on architectures, learning what works in production. By the time they released Chatterbox, they had already amortized a lot of that investment through their enterprise customers. The open source release was a way to expand their funnel, get developers building on their stack, create an ecosystem, and convert some percentage of those users to commercial customers.
It also serves as a recruiting tool. Developers want to work on technology they can actually see and touch.
If you're a talented ML engineer choosing between companies, the one with a public code base you can evaluate is more attractive than the one where everything is behind closed doors. Chatterbox functions as a portfolio piece for Resemble AI's engineering team.
After all that, what should you actually do with this information? Let me give you 3 concrete takeaways you can use this week.
First takeaway. If you're building a production TTS system for single-shot cloning, prioritize embedding caching and deterministic alignment over raw naturalness. Consistency is the feature that separates hobby projects from professional deployments. You can have the most natural-sounding model in the world, and if it sounds like a slightly different person every time you generate, it's useless for anything with recurring characters.
Second takeaway. Evaluate TTS models on those 3 axes we talked about. Consistency, controllability, latency. Map your use case to the axes and pick accordingly. If you're building an interactive voice agent where latency is everything, you might accept lower consistency for faster generation. If you're building an audiobook narrator, consistency and controllability matter more than latency. There's no universal best model. There's only the best model for your specific constraints.
Third takeaway. If you're starting a new TTS project right now, avoid VITS-based architectures unless you need extreme speed, sub-50 millisecond latency. The quality gap between VITS family models and the flow matching and diffusion-based decoders is widening. VITS was the right choice in 2023. It's not the right choice for a new project in 2026.
Practically speaking, what should someone do to get started?
Try Chatterbox through the official Resemble AI demo or the Hugging Face space. Experiment with the cached embedding approach. Extract a speaker embedding once, save it to disk, and reuse it across multiple generations. Notice how the voice stays locked. Then try the same thing with a model that re-encodes on every pass and notice the difference. That hands-on experience will teach you more than any podcast episode can.
Also worth monitoring the Cozy Voice 2 and Fish Beach repositories. Both have multilingual releases on their roadmaps, and the feature sets are evolving quickly. The model that's best today might not be best in 6 months.
One last thing before we wrap, and it's the question I keep coming back to as I watch this space evolve. As TDS quality approaches parity with human speech, what becomes the differentiator? For years, the question was, can it sound human? We've largely answered that. The new question is, can it sound like the same human every time? And beyond that, can it sound like the same human expressing the right emotion at the right pace with the right energy for the context? The field is shifting from generation quality to generation control.
The next frontier is probably streaming TTS with real-time voice adaptation. Imagine a podcast host whose voice subtly adjusts to match the guest's energy without losing their core identity. That's a hard problem. You need to modulate prosody and emotional tone while keeping the speaker embedding stable. Chatterbox's cached embedding approach might be the foundation for solving it, because it gives you a fixed anchor point to modulate around.
That's where the emotion conditioning on the roadmap gets interesting. If they can pull it off, stable identity, dynamic emotion, that's a genuine breakthrough. Not just for podcasting, but for any application where a synthetic voice needs to sound like a real person across a range of contexts.
And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1930s, geologists widely believed that the granitic islands of the Seychelles were formed by a unique type of volcanic gas rich in selenium hexafluoride, a compound they theorized could lower the melting point of continental rock enough to create mid-ocean granite formations. The theory was abandoned in 1947 when isotope analysis revealed the islands were simply a fragment of the ancient supercontinent, Gondwana.
The interwar period was really just throwing compounds at geological problems and hoping something stuck.
This has been my Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flemingtop for keeping the show running, and thanks to Resemble AI for building a TTS model that actually stays consistent across 200 episodes. If you enjoyed this deep dive, leave a review on your podcast platform. It helps other TTS practitioners find the show.
We'll be back next week. Same voices, same embeddings.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.